This morning I want to speak about a group of people the Bible refers to as David's mighty men or David's mighty warriors. These were the elite troops of David's army. These mighty warriors, I guess the modern day equivalent would be the SAS or the Navy SEALs or Delta Force or the Green Berets or the Marines, the Special Forces. These were the elite troops of David's army. There are few men in the Bible that attract our attention as much as David. He certainly wasn't a hidden warrior, was he? Whenever you think of David, you know, his name stands out. In fact, he's mentioned more than any other person in the Bible apart from Jesus. So David wasn't a hidden warrior. From the time that Goliath's body hit the deck in the Valley of Elah until the time he was crowned king and he reigned over a united nation of Israel, the fame of David is legendary. What a man of God David was. John in the prayer meeting this morning talked about, he prayed that David was a man after God's own heart. You know, he's the only person that's mentioned in the Bible, or the only person that God said, he was a man after my own heart. He was an incredible man, a man who wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. David was a man who had his flaws. He had his faults, he had his failures. He made some big mistakes in his life. But his desire for God was never abated. He loved God with all of his heart. You know, it was David who said, as the hart pants after the water brook, so my soul, it longs for you. It thirsts for you. The Lord is my shepherd. He's with me always. David had a heart for God, a tremendous desire for God. You know, friends, whenever God raises up a man or a woman to do a work for him, he always raises up mighty people, mighty warriors, mighty men and women of God who will come and stand by the man that God raises up. Anywhere you find that there's a work being done for God, you will always find that this principle is true. Whenever anyone is doing anything for God, there is always a group of mighty warriors, mighty men and women of God around them. For 35 years, I was the senior leader here at New Life. And I look back over those years and recount the men and women that God sent my way to help in the work. The mighty men and women of God. Some of you are here today. Those who God sent to get the job done. Now Luke's taken on the senior role here at New Life. And Luke, I guess, is already identifying the mighty men and women of God that God sent along Luke's path to get the job done. Whenever there is a work to be done for God and God raises up somebody to do it, he will always send along his mighty men and women alongside them. Every leader, every captain needs his mighty people to come alongside. David became great, but you know who he owed his success to? He owed his success to these unsung heroes that we're going to talk about this morning. These mighty warriors that God had put alongside of him. The Bible says of David, David, having served his generation in the will of God, he fell asleep. In other words, David died. But his death wasn't sudden. He knew he was dying. He knew that he was going home. And he had time to reflect. He had time to look back over his life and the journey that he'd been on. And he begins to reflect on the goodness of God and the mercy of God that he says has been with him all the days of his life. And as he's reflecting on his journey, as he remembers the time that Goliath hit the deck, as he remembers the time that the thousands in Israel were singing the song, Saul has slain his thousands, David his tens of thousands. As he remembers the heartaches and the struggles, as he's rejected and as his son Absalom usurps the throne, and he begins to think about his life, and it passes by him, he begins to reflect on these men of God, these mighty warriors that God had sent along his pathway. The account of David's reminiscence, they're found in 2 Samuel chapter 23 and 1 Chronicles chapter 11. In fact, in 2 Samuel 23 verse 1, it says, "Now these are the last words of David." His last recorded words before he dies. And he begins to reflect on his journey, and it's not long before David begins to recognize the tremendous role these mighty men had played in making David great. 1 Chronicles 11 verse 10 says, "Now these were the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom." And David begins to name them. It was David who got all the plaudits. It was David who was not the hidden warrior. It was David who became great and got all the headlines. But it was these unsung heroes, these hidden warriors, that made David great. The first thing, friends, I want to say this morning about these mighty men who David had was the relationship they had with David. They had a tremendous relationship with David, the king. And it's a great lesson to us about our relationship as soldiers and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, about our relationship with him. What is our relationship with him like? I really believe that the Lord, our Savior, is on the lookout for mighty men and women today. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong on behalf of those who fear him. And God, friends, is on the lookout for mighty warriors, those who will take their stand with God, those who will make a determined effort in their life to make God great on the earth, to crown him not only as Savior and Lord, but as King of their lives, to be his loyal subjects. I believe the Lord is looking for mighty men and women of valor, men and women of courage and faith, men and women who are anointed with the power of God, men and women who are not afraid to risk or to sacrifice, men and women who will offer up their all for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why did these mighty men do what they did for David? Well, I believe they were propelled by the greatest motivating factor of all. They loved David. They loved him with all of their hearts. There was nothing they wouldn't do for David because of the love that they had for him. Can I say, friends, our love for God, we can talk all we like, but your love and my love for God will be the only thing that motivates us to give our best. When we realize we have been forgiven much, we will love much. And it's only our love for God that will motivate us to serve him and give him the best that we have. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, he said to them, it's Christ's love that compels me. It's Christ's love that drives me to serve and give the best that I have. In the book of Revelations, chapter 12 and verse 11, there is a scene in eternity by a great cloud of men and women who the Bible refers to as overcomers. And in verse 11, we read in chapter 12 of Revelation, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. They did not love their lives, one version says, so much as to shrink back from death. They loved their lives to the death. They wouldn't shrink back. In other words, they counted what they were involved in greater than the very life that they had. They were willing to die for the cause. Friends, I really believe God is looking for people who will die. Die to self. Die to all of our ambitions. To put to death, the Bible says, the works of the flesh. To be crucified with Christ. To die. To present our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. The Bible says if we die with him, we will live with him. These mighty men, these mighty warriors, they loved David more than they did their own lives. They'd committed themselves to him. And they were prepared to give their all for David. They wouldn't hold anything back. They were prepared to put their own lives on the line to make David great. There was a time when David was in the stronghold down in the wilderness of En-Gedi, in what they called Adullam's cave. He wasn't on the throne at this time, but he was in the stronghold. And one day he's thinking about his youth and being brought up as a young man. He's thinking about looking after the sheep in the fields. And he's thinking about when he came home on a night, how he would get a drink from the well that was at Bethlehem. How he would quench his thirst after being out in the heat all day. And I don't know if it was just a thought that he said out aloud, but David said this, oh, that someone would give me to drink from the well that's at Bethlehem. The Bible tells us that Bethlehem at that moment in time was controlled by the Philistines. There was a garrison of Philistines, an enemy, who were now in charge of Bethlehem. And the Word of God says that David sighed this. He must have sighed it or said it out aloud in his reminiscence. Oh, that someone would give me a drink from the water that is from the well at Bethlehem. And three of his mighty men heard him say it. And the Bible says they got up, didn't say anything to David, but they broke through the ranks of the Philistines. They slaughtered the Philistines, hip and thigh, and left a trail of destruction. And they got to the well at Bethlehem. And they got their cup or their flask, and they filled it. And they brought it back to David. You see, they were willing to risk their lives for him. And the Bible says David poured it out before the Lord. He wouldn't drink it because he realized these men had jeopardized their lives to satisfy his thirst. There was nothing they wouldn't do for him. To read the exploits of these men is to read something out of a boy's own comic. they accomplished incredible things in combat. It's the stuff that modern soldiers wouldn't do today. Can I say some of the things that happened? It's the stuff even fictitious soldiers. In other words, it's hard to dream it up. Some of the things that they did, it's hard to make it up. It's the stuff that makes Mel Gibson in his portrayal of Braveheart, William Wallace, and Russell Crowe in Gladiator. This stuff here, friends, is stuff that makes those things pale in insignificance. You think what you see up there on the telly is something incredible. Let me tell you, what these men did was absolutely incredible. And David reflects on his journey and the part that they'd played in establishing his kingdom. And he begins to name these mighty warriors. And he begins to write down some of the, or speak about some of the exploits that they'd done. I want you to notice something. David calls them by name. To David, these men, he wasn't just king over them. And these men, David just wasn't their king. He was their friend. And that's something very important to know, friends. David was more than their king. David was their friend. These friends had access to the king. He knew these men who had given their all for him. He had a personal relationship with each and every one of them. And he called them by name. The Bible says that the Lord knows us all by name. Aren't you glad of that? In our series that we've just completed about deeper waters, I mentioned, as I was sharing in that series at one time, about our relationship with the Lord and about the desire that we are to have to get to know Him, to have some intimacy with God. Can I say, friends, it is only out of intimacy with God that we are going to make any lasting change in our lives. It's only our intimacy with God that's going to mark us out as men and women who will make a difference. Because if we have no intimacy with Him, let me tell you, we are not going to make a difference. These men knew their king. The Bible says, they that know their God shall be strong and they will do exploits. The more we get to know Him, the greater the mark we will make on our generation. That I might know Him and the power of His resurrection, Paul said. Friends, Jesus is not only our Savior. He's not only our Lord. He's not only our King. Can I say that Jesus is our friend? What a friend we have in Jesus. He's our friend. And the Bible says He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And it's up to every one of us here this morning to develop our relationship with our friend, with our Lord, our Master, our King, but He's our friend. He's not a remote king. He's not someone that we can't be touched. Friends, He's our friend. He's a friend, the Bible says, that draws close to us. If you draw near to me, God says, I will draw near to you. He's a personal God. A personal God who knows us by name. I think it's staggering that the God of a trillion galaxies, who spoke the word and the worlds were formed by the word of His power, He's my friend. Hallelujah. He calls us friends. He says, I haven't called you servants. A servant doesn't know what his master does. He said, from here on in, I'm calling you friends. We sing that song, I am a friend of God. How true that is. He no longer, he calls me a friend. Friends, we are friends of God. And let me tell you, when you are a friend of God, he will reveal things to you. The word of God says about Abraham that he was a friend of God. God called him his friend. And there was a time God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, shall I hide from Abraham the thing that I'm about to do? Of course, the answer was no. God told him he was going to bring destruction to Sodom and Gomorrah. God will reveal things when we are his friends. Revelation will be part of our lives when we become friends with God, to have a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord. David's mighty men were his friends. He knew them by name. Can I say, brothers and sisters, we will never make a mark for God. We will never become the mighty men and women God wants us to become unless we first of all have that intimate relationship with him, that I might know him. Out of that, all of our life happens. All of the activity, all of the work that you do, let me tell you, friends, it will amount to nothing, absolutely nothing, if you don't have a personal relationship with him. All it will be is works. The Bible says, they that know their God will be strong and do exploits. And David begins to share these exploits that these mighty men of his did. He mentions them by name, Adino. Bible tells us that he was outnumbered 800 to 1. That's not bad odds, is it? 800 to 1. How does one man with a spear defeat 800 men? I'll tell you why. Because God was with him. God was with him. What kind of man was Adino? Well, he didn't give up when he was outnumbered. Sometimes you might feel as though you're outnumbered. You might be the only one in your family, at work, and everybody around you is outnumbering you because they don't live like you live and don't believe what you believe. Can I say, don't give up? Don't give up. Adino didn't give up when he was outnumbered, when he was overwhelmed by all that was against him. He was a man of courage. He didn't turn and he didn't run away. He stood his ground. The Bible says, when you've done everything, keep standing. Stand your ground for God. Keep standing, friends. Keep standing firm on what you believe. Don't waver. Adino, a man who slew 800 men with a spear. Eliezer, the Bible says all Israel had retreated. And Eliezer arose and he attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary. In other words, it stuck to his sword, the Bible says. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. Eliezer, his hand stuck to his sword. His hand became weary until every Philistine was slaughtered. Don't drop the sword until the job's done. Keep the sword in your hand. Keep the word of God before you. Keep the word of God alive in your heart, friends. It's the sword of the Spirit. Shammah. Where's she at? She's gone out. She took the baby out. Shammah. Israel had fled again from the Philistines. And the Bible says a troop of Philistines had gathered at a piece of ground that was full of lentils. But Shammah stationed himself in the middle of the field. He defended it, and he killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Notice that. These victories, tremendous. But every time it says, the Lord brought about a great victory. Friends, the battle belongs to him. Let me tell you, one with God is a majority. The Bible says one will put 1,000 to flight. And it was happening here. And two, 10,000. Because if God's on your side, if God is for you, who can be against you? Hallelujah. And you got God with you. On your side, fighting the battles. Abishai. The Bible says he lifted his spear against 300 men and he killed them. Benaiah, the Bible says, had done many deeds, but it mentions a few. He killed two lion-like heroes from Moab. He also went down into a pit on a snowy day and he killed a lion. He killed an Egyptian, a spectacular man, 7 foot tall. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand. So Benaiah went down to him with a staff. He wrestled the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and he killed him with his own spear. And so the list goes on. Exploits. David mentions the exploits. He mentions the names of those who came. Isn't it amazing that most of the mighty men, they came to David when he was on the run and he was in the cave of Adullam when he was running away on the run from Saul. Most of the mighty men joined David at that time. Listen to what the Bible says. They came to him day by day to help him until it was a great army like the army of God. They were coming to a cause. I was reading some of the people who came. It mentions the Gadites. Some Gadites joined David at the stronghold in the wilderness. Mighty men of valor. Men who were trained for battle, who could handle shield and spear, whose faces were like the faces of lions. Just picture them. Long hair, unshaven. Who were as swift as gazelles on the mountain. And they came tribe by tribe. One by one they came. The Bible says they came daily to David. Listen to this. It says, the Spirit of God came upon Amaziah. Some of the Benjaminites and Judah, they came to David at the stronghold. And David went out to meet them and answered and said to them, if you've come peaceably to me to help me, my heart will be united with you. But if it is to betray me to my enemies, since there is no wrong in my hands, may the God of our fathers look and bring judgment. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, chief of the captains, and he said, we are yours, David. We are on your side. Peace to you and peace to your helpers, for God helps you. We are yours, David. We are on your side. They decided who they were going to serve. Can I say Jesus is building his church? Hallelujah. And he's adding to it daily those who are being served. And there was a day you and me were added to the church. We didn't join the church. He added us to it. And we enlisted in an army. We said we are soldiers of the King. Friends, God has called you and me not to a kindergarten, not to a party, but to be soldiers, to be warriors. The Bible says he has chosen us to be soldiers of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us are called to serve him in the army of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. These men made a difference. These mighty men made a difference to David. They loved their king. They were surrendered to their king. They'd given everything up for their king. They'd surrendered everything. They counted their lives nothing. Just like Paul did. He said, I count everything else as refuse that I might know him. Everything they'd given to the king, they were committed to him. They were steadfast. They were unmovable. They had one purpose in life, to make David the king. To see a crown go upon this man's head, whom God had anointed. Friends, every one of us, we serve a rejected king. The world has rejected him. But the day is coming, hallelujah, when a crown, a royal diadem, will adorn his brow. He will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. And God today is looking for men and women just like you and me who will make a difference. We have come to him just like the hosts of Israel came to him, to David. And the question I want to ask as we bring this message to a close this morning is, are you prepared to make a difference? Are you prepared? You see, many men came to him. Many came to him in their thousands. But the mighty men stood out because they surrendered everything. They were prepared to give their all. And it stood them out from the rest. Let me tell you, friends, mighty men and women of God, they stand out from the rest because they are prepared to give their all. They're not giving God leftovers. They're not giving God little pieces of their lives and fitting their lives around him. It is Christ and him alone. He's first. They're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They're putting God in the rightful place of their lives. They're not giving God a little couple of hours here on a Sunday and a couple of hours through the week. Their whole lives are bathed in serving God. Commitment. It's a dirty word today in the church. Commitment. Let me tell you, mighty warriors are committed. They are men and women of faith and valor and strength. And every one of us this morning, we have the opportunity to become a mighty man or a mighty woman for God. A mighty warrior in the hands of God. We've all got the same opportunity. There's no one hasn't got that opportunity. Friends, there is a level playing field. And we've got to make a decision. We've got to make a choice whether we are going to rise to the challenge that is before us. Are we going to continue in our lukewarmness and in our apathy, in our couldn't care lessness? Because the day that we are living in is short. And the Bible says we've got to work because the day is coming when no one will be able to work. Friends, Jesus is coming soon. You've only got one life. It's going to be over in a blink. Only what you do for Jesus Christ is going to last. It's called laying up treasure in heaven, where moth and rust does not break through and thieves don't break through and steal it. There is a day coming when he will be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you and I are going to be at the coronation. We're going to be there. We're going to see it. When the Bible says every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess. When every prime minister and every head of state and every queen and every king who's ever lived will bow the knee to him and acknowledge that he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. When we stand before him on that day, may we be counted as one of his mighty warriors. As one of his mighty men and women. not in our own strength, because the battle is his. But because we've made a decision, we've enlisted ourselves, we are sold out for the cause. Every one of us can become a mighty warrior. May our lives be one of sacrificial commitment, passion, zeal, desire for God. May we serve our generation in the will of God. And when the end comes, as come it will, when the time that we'll be able to work no more is over. We sing that song, don't we? And when my time has come, when the end draws near and my time has come, may we hear those words that will be reward enough for everything that we do for him. Well done. Good, faithful servant. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I've finished the race. May we hear those words, friends. To hear that will be reward enough, let me tell you. May God help us to become a mighty man, a mighty woman of God, to crown him. You see, those men had already crowned him king. He was already their king. But they got him to the throne, and everybody else recognized. The whole of Israel recognized. The whole of the entire world, the known world at that time. The fame of David went far and wide. Everybody knew that David was on the throne. God, will you help us as your people? Will you help us, Lord, to help you to do the greatest work this side of heaven that we can ever do? To see you crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords.